Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn, and you're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special in-studio guest is Nancy Rose Gerler, and she is a professional psychic, channel, and medium. Good afternoon, Nancy. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Mike, for having me.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. Now, you say that you're a psychic, channel, and medium. Don't those things get lumped together sometimes?
They do, but they're actually quite different, and one can't presume that one person has all those gifts. It's kind of, there's a really broad spectrum of kind of clairvoyance, other types of psychic gifts and knowing, and so I make the distinction between them so that people can understand kind of the breadth of the skills I bring to the table. I can define them for you if you would like to know.
Yeah, what are they?
Well, being a psychic, that involves, you're probably quite familiar with the terms that have the derivative of the French, the clair, prefix to them, clairvoyant, meaning clear seeing. I have visions that show on my inner screen. They can like run like a movie or a symbol or an image show. Clairaudience is inner hearing, where I will get messages, ask questions, get answers. Sometimes a line of a song will go through my mind that will perfectly illustrate a point and also adds a bit of humor into the reading. There's also clairsentience, which means you literally feel things in your body. So my body is kind of finely calibrated now, and my joke is if I get a very strong gut reaction, that would be a no. Don't go there. And I'm an empath. I can literally feel what other people are feeling, feel other people's emotions, attitudes, etc. And some of the less known areas actually even have to do with being psychic olfactorily through the sense of smell. And I can sometimes, you know, get, you know, the whiff of a perfume or a flower or fragrance or something else that will give me clues and cues as to the reference, taste sensations. And so my whole being, we have a lot more than six senses, actually. So it's just when I'm plugged into the zone, as I call it, I receive multimodality impressions that, you know, I have to interpret. And I get a lot more information than can come out of my mouth, and I speak quickly. So when I'm working in the, quote, psychic arena, I can answer questions about past, present, and future situations. But also the thing that most people don't realize is that when you're in the psychic arena, there really isn't the same sense of time as in the linear clock time that we have. And past, present, and future can appear to run together, or things that are very important can loom large and look like they're close, but they could just be a really big event. So I may sometimes need clarification if an event has already happened, is currently occurring, or if it hasn't, that means it will occur in the future. And the psychic arenas, you know, usually deal with the issues that people are dealing with in their life right now, whether it's, you know, romance or, you know, personal relationships, finance, career, education, etc. Mediumship has to do with being able to contact those departed loved ones on the other side. And there are, you know, a lot of famous mediums out there that kind of work the gallery or the room. I don't work that way. My joke is that when you're in front of a room full of people, you've got all those people in the audience going, you know, pick me, pick me, and all the spirits on the other side going, pick me, pick me, and everybody's like, you know, grappling and grasping for the mic. My joke about me as a medium is I'm more like the switchboard operator, which makes me think of Lily Tomlin and Laugh-In, one ringy-dingy, two ringy-dingy, and my joke is don't call me, I'll call you. But the information that I get when I do contact someone on the other side, I prefer the one-on-ones because people can literally have a dialogue with their departed loved one through me, and it is often so intimate and telling. It's not the kind of thing that I would want to do in front of a large audience. You know, when people are in this gallery setting, they may get a symbol, a word, a few sentences, but, you know, with some validation from the other side, but they don't get that kind of in-depth experience of really knowing how well their loved one's doing. I also have the ability to see on the other side, so I can tell what the person looks like, what their energy level is like, what is the setting that they're in, who's around them in terms of relatives. And it's very difficult work to do. Nobody should think that this is easy. Mm-hmm. But it's also the most gratifying work that I do. And if I can use the example of a woman I saw just last week, it was actually one of the most dramatic sessions I have ever had. And almost ironic in that she contacted me and said that she and her daughter had planned to come in this fall, but that actually her daughter had contacted me years ago.
Mm-hmm. And the daughter, a reading?
Yeah, for a reading, but the daughter mm-hmm. was in a wheelchair, so she couldn't get up the two flights of stairs to get in. I was, you know, offered to meet her anywhere, you know, her home, a cafe, wherever she would feel comfortable, but she didn't follow through. Mm-hmm. So they had planned to come this fall, and the daughter died unexpectedly this summer. And the mother walked in just bereft still. And even though her daughter had major health problems, she, you know, her whole role had been as caregiver and caretaker of an amazingly able person who had done extraordinary things despite some, you know, disease conditions that might have put a lot of us just into lifelong depression, but this girl achieved beyond anyone's expectations. And that mother probably had like the whole half an hour, 45-minute conversation with her darling daughter, who kept telling her, "I'm fine, I'm fine." She's dancing around, you know, on the other side, you're restored.
Right.
And the problem with the mother is she really didn't know what to do with her life now that this daughter had departed. And the daughter said, gave her mother the absolute prescription, said, "I want you to do a memorial run in my name." And she wanted her to... She had two specific charities that she wanted the money to go to, and she said she wanted it to be a fun run where people, you know, do pledges and sponsors. And she said, "I want everybody to be able to participate if they're in a wheelchair, if they're in a scooter, on a pogo stick, I don't care." And it was so cute. But the mother, even she got to speak to her parents on the other side, and I said, "They're playing the polka up there." I said, "Your daughter's dancing." She looks at me quizzically like, "You're crazy." And I said, "Well, somebody up there's playing the accordion." She goes, "My uncle."
Mm-hmm. Was it polka music?
Oh, yeah.
That's what her uncle played?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. She was of Polish origin. Mm-hmm. She left there smiling, beaming, like the weight of the world left her shoulders. And we both cried. Mm-hmm. And I was so grateful to be that conduit to let her know her daughter was perfectly fine in the hands and company of loved ones. And this mother had a new purpose in life that she could move on to.
Right. And now the mother has to get in shape, right, to do this run? Is that
nah,
it?
She just has to organize it.
Oh, okay.
She just has to organize it.
I see. Okay. Well, now, how did you get interested in being a psychic?
Well...
everything else, I mean, being a medium and a channel, all that.
Let me explain about what a channel is, and then I'll get into how I got to be doing what I'm doing, because it's... Let's just put it this way. It's not what you put on your high school thesis about what I want to do when I grow up.
Or most likely to be a...
Yes. Okay. No, farthest thing from. But the mediumship, the interesting thing when I'm doing the mediumship, I can actually channel that person on the other side. They really can come through me rather than me just delivering messages or talking about. But I've brought in people with, you know, deep accents, brogues, or peppered with a lot of swear words that I don't customarily use in my conversation, but it sure let that person sitting across from me know I got the right person.
Right.
As a channel, I am a conscious channel, not a trance channel. The famous Edgar Cayce was a trance channel and, you know, literally went out of his own consciousness and brought in the information. My joke about me is, no, I'm way too much interested in being in control to surrender my consciousness. So I'm there, but in an altered state, and I can bring through the guides, angels, masters that work with the individual. I can bring through, you know, many of different realms that are out there. And when I do my channeling evenings, I channel Narana, who is, you know, part of my higher self, and she speaks with an accent, and information comes in both more universal or global type messages, advocations for the season, and also then personal messages too for the people in the room. And if people had been attending my channeling evenings in the late 90s, they would know about the financial crisis that we're in now.
Okay.
I have been warning people for a very long time.
And nobody listened, right?
If you want to know the truth, only a few. Very few people did listen. Those people that did take my advice and didn't retire early and I told wait for the buyout, had thousands of dollars in their bank accounts for listening to me, but there another woman who did not listen to me lost out on about a six-figure buyout.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's significant, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is that it for them being a medium? I mean, is that all the
channel?
I mean, is that...
It's not it. It's when you're in these arenas, Mike, they're ever-expanding. It's like no limits. It always amazes me what comes through me.
Right.
And, you know, the virtue that I have, my part of the equation is that I have a very large vocabulary, well-educated, so I can draw a very precise picture for people and you know, words that can inspire and motivate. When I do the channeling, too, quite often there are guided meditations or visualizations that people go through a process where they themselves are really shifted in their consciousness or their energy levels. People often, you know, leave those sessions feeling very, if they came in stressed out, they feel very, you know, relieved and energized or relaxed, etc. But these areas are ones that, you know, there's no top of the mountain to reach. You can always get better at doing what I do.
Mm-hmm. And just very briefly, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Nancy Rose Gerler, and she is a professional psychic channel and medium. Now that you've described everything, again, how did you get involved being a psychic and continue on from there?
Well, I had an interest in metaphysics and actually had psychic experiences as a child.
Mm-hmm.
But I just assumed everybody else that was that
right.
way. And my best friend, also a Scorpio, and somebody that I met in kindergarten, and we are still dear friends today, she and I just shared the magic together. We would go out, you know, and meet with the fairies in the bachelor's buttons patch and have these experiences. Or we would have you know, the same dream on the same night, or communication with dreams. So these were a little bit part and parcel of my life, but not under my control. Just things that happened, like knowing what song's going to be on the radio next, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. And then in the early 80s, I met the man that was to be my husband, and for the period of time that he was. He was the first person that introduced me to meditation and a lot of the concepts. At that point, he was studying what is now known as the Kabbalah, but back then it was called Hermetics, when there were Mayflower Bookstore was probably mm-hmm. about the only one
yes,
out
right,
there.
Right.
So I was interested in these things, and we were kind of on this personal growth path, and we had a number of really tragic things happen in a row that was pretty much a lot for a young couple just starting out, and it forced me to look up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I went to see my first psychic, because one, I was really looking at the impact these things were having on our lives, our money, and possibly my marriage. And first psychic I saw wasn't specific enough for me. A friend had given me two references. The second one became my teacher. Mm-hmm. I took meditation classes from her, and then the next class after that was psychic development. So, you know, I was just on this path of, okay, I'm with this group. And also, this was back in 1987, and this group was the first ones around, I think, that offered Reiki training.
Mm-hmm.
And Reiki was literally unheard of at that time. It was a very esoteric healing modality. And because a lot of people in this group, they had healing nights and they did, you know, the hands-on healing, I took Reiki too, which energizes you to have the universal healing energy flow through you. And so whenever anybody is sitting in the chair across from me when I'm doing readings, my right palm is out, and I am sending energy the whole time, so they don't know that, but doing that. So I started on that path, basically out of, you know, trauma and tragedy. I needed answers. I couldn't understand why such terrible things were happening to somebody who'd basically been a goody-goody all of her
yeah,
life.
Right.
Why
life,
me?
Yeah, life wasn't fair at that point.
Oh, seriously not fair. I mean, it was, you know, almost amazing how bad it could be. But what actually ensued out of that, the man that I was married to, who had been so metaphysically adept at such a young age, and also, you know, in the guise of being, you know, a jock, etc., like that, he had this secret life of being into meditation and astral projection. I tried to, you know, get him to go back on the path with me, but he was more interested in, you know, kind of getting in the blame and the lower end of when bad things happen to people, and not looking up and taking the college of knowledge that we can glean out of every experience. So I had to make the very difficult decision of ending that marriage and moving on, but what it did was open up for me the opportunity to explore more things metaphysically and develop my own psychic gifts. I just did readings, you know, for people in my spiritual group and friends. I had no intention of ever going public.
Or professional?
No. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, it was just part of my spiritual path, but my joke for years has been the universe will drop kick you where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I had a wonderful dog at that time, a beautiful Bouvier, and the dog needed emergency surgery. Woke up one morning, the dog was breathing heavily, there was a huge, you know, inflammation in the chest, and I was working part-time for a friend as a courier.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to take my dog to the vet and get her taken care of. So I was something like 15 minutes late for the currying job that was to a newspaper, and I got fired.
Hmm.
Now, if I had to choose between being fired and saving my dog's life, I absolutely did the right thing,
right,
because it saved the dog's life.
Right.
But then there was the question of how do I pay for the vet bill that was into the hundreds of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of a friend asked, hey, do you know any good psychics? You know, I need one for, you know, my psychic nights. And she said, yes, I do. So I got my introduction to the public at a bar in Jackson, Michigan.
Okay.
Doing readings for people in various states yes. of inebriation.
Right. I'm sure that was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Trial by fire.
Yes.
Really trial by fire, but I found that I could do it. And before, I had always been able to do my readings under, you know, very controlled circumstances. You know, maybe we'd meditate first, light some incense. It was in my house. And there was music, there was
right.
clamor, and, you know, people just of all walks of life. And like I say, some were less drunk than others.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with this person for a couple of months and said, this is not my scene. I'm going to go out on my own. I received the name of my business, Crystal Clear Expressions. Boom, it hit my third eye like a lightning bolt. And as you see, I've got crystals in my hand.
I see that. That helps you. Does that help calm you down or
focus
give you guidance?
Focus and clear.
Okay.
Focus and clear. Because I am a true, you know, clear everything, as we were discussing earlier, I don't use any of the typical divination tools that some people might use, like tarot cards or palmistry or mm-hmm. astrology, which I should make the distinction. You don't have to be psychic to use any
right.
of the previous modalities. If you are psychic and use them, then you can, you know, that can very much enhance the reading. But, you know, that's not the way I work. It's kind of a direct connect.
Right. Spontaneous also, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm very, there's no set routine or pattern to my readings. Each individual that comes to me, I work with spirit. My prayer before is that I ask to be the conduit and that only information that is of value and benefit for the person to know at this time come through.
Mm-hmm.
So I do what's known as a blessed and protected reading. And my example would be, you know, if Aunt Tilly's going to die tomorrow and it's her time and there's nothing you can do about it, that may not come through in the reading
mm-hmm.
type of thing. But it's been a really amazing adventure and very up and down.
Mm-hmm. But if you're supposed to tell somebody what might be construed as bad news, you have no problems in doing so?
I always tell people I never give a negative without a positive solution. So mm-hmm. no, I always tell the truth no matter what. I never finesse a reading, you know, what I mean, a kind of lie or BS or what have you, or give somebody something that sounds good. There are lots of people that can give you what I call a generic or a placebo reading.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I see money in your future. Oh, yes, love will be coming your way.
Right.
And, you know, it sounds good at the time. The people may leave with a smile on
right.
their face and then nothing comes true.
Right.
Or they don't have anything specific enough
right.
to nail down.
It's their interpretation of what might happen. Anything could be construed as money coming in. Maybe even if $100 comes into your life somehow. Well, that's money. It's not a lot, but
right.
it's some money.
I'm very specific and very detailed. And, you know, in the many years that I have been doing readings, it's now 22 years since I
mm-hmm.
first started.
But who's counting, right?
Yeah, well, I have to, because it's like, whoa, you know, time has really, it's gone faster than you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But there are very few individuals I've been able to say, oh yeah, windfall is coming your way.
Right.
Most of the time we have to work for what we get
mm-hmm.
on this earth. And, you know, sometimes even the hard work doesn't pay off immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You may see the results someplace down the...
Right.
But I can give people the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, to keep them going.
Mm-hmm. But have you ever gone so far as to say, I feel that you are going to pass away soon or anything like that? Have you gone that deep?
Let's see. I don't think I've seen that the person sitting in front of me
mm-hmm.
would be passing, but I have had to tell people, you know, if your son continues on his life path the way he's going, I don't see him living past his 27th year.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, that individual died 2 weeks after his 27th birthday. Mm-hmm. But his mother, knowing me, has been able to speak with him since and get some reassurance as to his well-being on the other side.
Right. But that helps her as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, it's I don't like giving that kind of information, but it's also part of, I feel, my responsibility when I am given that information to couch it in a way that a person can receive it. If there are things that can be altered, mm-hmm. or, you know, can you make some health modifications, you know, to help this person not have that, et cetera. I mean, another client, I predicted the death of his stepfather to the day. But he was a man who was elderly and ailing. Right. And sometimes it's a blessing to know. But it's always, every single person is just a whole aggregate of individual experiences and potentials for the future. And I like to talk about a psychic reading as more being potentials in so much, you know, alluding to the Robert Frost poem, The Road Not Taken. Mm-hmm. And what I can do is I can project into the future and say, well, if you go down this direction, then these are the array of possible consequences. And if you go down an alternate direction, these are what can potentially occur. So that people can make better choices. Let's, you know, whether it's a job search, a move, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. And again, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And my special guest this month is Nancy Rose Gerler, and she is a professional psychic channel and medium. Now, I know in some of the material that you sent me, getting back to what you just mentioned, you told a young man that he had two choices in life as far as a career. Again, he could have taken the easier road or taken the road that would be a little bit harder but would be more fulfilling in a shorter time. So these are the types of options that you mentioned, correct?
Exactly. And he's still a client today, a dozen years later. And, you know, he definitely got the fast learning curve. He's in the nursing home industry, and he kind of learned by the, you know, how not to do it, because some of the companies that he worked for didn't have the greatest integrity. Mm-hmm. But he's landed himself a very good position, very stable position. And, you know, he will call me still if there's a crisis at work and he wants to know how to handle it, you know, if there's family conflict or something with a patient. But with an interesting synchronicity of my life, I did a reading a week ago for a woman whose daughter actually works at the same facility for him. Not that I revealed that, because I hold the same confidentiality as a therapist, etc. But, you know, I always, it's kind of like those little ding-dings.
Right. How it's all interconnected somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
I'm sure that does happen. Now, when a client comes to you, can you also feel their pain, what they might be going through? Again, you said you tap into their feelings if they're feeling depressed. I mean, can you feel those feelings yourself?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And does that take its toll on you? I mean,
yes.
After you give a reading, do you really have to decompose for a few minutes?
No, I don't have to decompose. I decompress.
Decompress, that's it. We don't want you to decompose. That's completely different. But, I mean, you have
plenty of time for that after
right,
I pass.
Yeah. But just, you know, take a few minutes out to gather yourself and get back, get grounded again.
Absolutely. That's why I always schedule some time between clients. One, in case we run over, because I tend to run long. I've never run short. I always run long. But, yes, it takes a lot out of me. In fact, what I do takes so much energy out of me that's why I tend to see people usually later in the day, so I can go home, you know, relax and go to sleep. It's hard when you go into the dimensions that I go to do what I do, to just walk right out the door and do everyday life like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Especially driving a vehicle, that can be dangerous.
Really?
So I have to ground down significantly before, and sometimes eat. And I'm very empathic and emotional. And, you know, I will cry with people, and I will laugh with people, and I will hug them.
Mm-hmm.
My background, my degree is in psychology, and my joke is that I just took my psych degree to a different degree.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons that I did not go on and become a clinical psychologist like my father, as I had long planned, was that at the time that I was in school, a lot of the more humanistic modalities and therapy did not exist, and it was all about that clinical objectivity where you have to be very distant, you know, from your client. And I feel that love is the greatest healing agent there is on this planet. So, you know, I can love and care about and care for my clients, and unlike most other psychics, I follow up with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see how they're doing, how their life is going. Hey, did that job come through for you? Oh, great. Oh, that home sold? Yeah, right when we said it, what, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But I like to hear how the shoe drops, too.
Right. But it gives you a chance to be flexible. It's not like, just like you say, set ways with book knowledge and psychology. You can also interpret and interact with your clients as well.
Oh, very much. You know, growing up in the family of a clinical psychologist, my dad was a professor at the University of Michigan. So I grew up in that milieu, but one of the gifts that I bring into my work is the ability to see the person behind the mask.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the dynamics and manipulations that go on. And for years, I have been preaching to people about pathological narcissism, which is currently epidemic mm-hmm. in our society. Those individuals that look, sound, and seem like the real deal, but it's actually pretty much a faux personality designed to extract what they want out of the person, out of very subtle manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see it in our headlines, you know, and have for this whole decade. I also said way back in the 90s about that in the beginning of the new millennium, we were going to see lots of scandals and lots of people yeah. falling from high places.
Bernie Madoff, was he
yes.
in there?
Well, the boardrooms and the bedrooms, they didn't give me specifics, but uh-huh. let's just say the day that the Enron scandals broke, Spirit kept tapping me on the shoulder to turn on the TV, and I wasn't watching TV at all at the time. It's like, I don't want to turn on the TV. No, turn on the news, turn on the news. Well, I resisted all day till 7 o'clock at night. I turned on PBS and what was then the McNeil Era Report
mm-hmm.
and then heard about the scandals, and they wanted me to see that the predictions that I had been making for years were coming true. And what, after Enron, there was quite a number of them,
oh,
and
yes.
we're still experiencing it.
Oh, yes.
But I said it was going to be a decade full of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that look good sound good, and there's nothing good about them, but they're all, because they can emulate
right.
emotions, they appear to be normal. And they also can be almost seamless. And at first read, sometimes these narcissists may look good for me. I have to delve deeper as a psychic. The problem with them is they believe their own lies.
Mm-hmm.
And so whereas people like you and me that have a conscience and feel guilt, pathological narcissists don't. So they basically rewrite history in accordance with their lies. That gets implanted in their brain. They have a new history they act from, and they appear to be seamless because it's not a lie to them anymore.
Mm-hmm. But doesn't everybody wear a mask to a certain degree, or is that not necessarily true?
No, I think we all have various personas we put on in public,
mm-hmm.
you know, depending on the situation or circumstance.
Right.
But, for instance, the greatest example that I run into when people come in regarding romantic relationships, you know, what happened to the wonderful man that courted me? You know, I say the monster comes out of the closet once
right.
the marriage happens.
Well, yeah, once you got the person, whoever you're after, you can just drop the act. You can be who you really are. And that's when, you know, people start gaining weight or acting in a manner that they didn't project beforehand. That's happened to me once or twice. I'm sure it's probably happened to you, but
trust me, life. I had to date a couple of pathological narcissists to know the creature very well,
really?
But I go through things first, and then I attract clients in, and I've had that experience, and I can explain to them very clearly what's happened. I'll give another perfect example. This was many years ago. I'd say about a dozen years ago, a client came to see me. She was from another country, and had had a relationship with a man that was at the university getting an advanced degree and wanted to know, should she marry him? And, you know, the guy had cheated on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that, you know, this was his personality. I didn't really advocate the marriage. And I also said that the mother-in-law would be a big, big problem, and that the in-laws could be such an issue that they'd probably be happiest if they didn't live in the same area. And she stayed a client all these years and became a friend, too. Well, what has been a resounding issue in the marriage? The husband has cheated.
Mm-hmm.
And the issues with the in-laws have been at times horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
And most recently, you know, she called, you know, wondering if she should even stay in the marriage. She has a young child. And because she wanted to stay in the marriage, you know, I gave her the advice that I felt would make that occur, and it was going to require patience on her part. But I had to, you know, say, look, his personality is his personality. He does what he wants. He doesn't care what you think.
Mm-hmm. And he won't change either.
It's not too typical.
Mm-hmm.
Even my father, the clinical psychologist, said, Nancy, people don't change that much.
Mm-hmm. They may change some, but not that much.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know in some of the material you sent me, you went through a severe car accident. Now, I think people want to know, when they hear about things like that, they want to know, how can a psychic get into a serious accident or have a serious illness? Why don't they see that beforehand so they can deal with it effectively?
Well, the first thing I want to say is most psychics cannot read for themselves. We can get intuition or impressions, and sometimes it steered me down a path where I was supposed to go through some events that maybe I would not have chosen had I known.
Mm-hmm.
Two, we're not omniscient. We're not all-knowing and all-seeing. That would be God's domain, but not mine.
Okay, at least you admit it.
Oh, heck, yes. Yeah. And, you know, I'm the first psychic that says anybody that says they're 100% accurate is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can be 100% accurate. There's too much free will. People can make different choices, not rise up to their highest potential, that type of thing. But when it comes to something like, you know, the major accident that I went through, I'd even had a good friend who's advised me well along the years, you know, tell me that I would have a life-changing event at the end of the month, and I was thinking it was going to be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this occurred to me. I had worked a psychic party, and I was so much in demand, they kept me like a couple of hours later. So I did, I think, 5.5 hours straight of readings with about a 10-minute break. So my brain was seriously burned out.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much a marathon for doing that kind of nonstop activity. And I did not get a chance to ground down. By the time I went downstairs at the end of the party, you know, everybody else had left and the host and the hostess just wanted to go to bed. So I kind of zipped out into my car and drove home. On a road that I had driven for 20 years and knew the back of my hand. But black ice hidden under a thin veneer of snow, and my car 180'd and broadsided a tree. Trust me, the ramifications that had on my life, my business, was really the worst thing that ever happened to me. And I have not had what anyone could call an easy life.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, there are things you can't avoid. If you sign up, you contract for things. No one's guaranteed a bed of roses.
Mm-hmm.
And the old, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden, etc. It was a huge learning experience for me. It also taught me about limitation.
Mm-hmm.
boy, you can't take having your limbs work for granted after, you know, you break things.
Right.
And I'd never had anything more severe than a broken toe.
Mm-hmm.
But down the pike, how that served me, I had a tremendous negative reactions to the medication or painkillers that they'd given me. I'd never been on one in my life. I've been alternative and holistic for decades, so I had a pretty clean body, and being 5 feet tall and less than 100 pounds, they probably needed to give me a homeopathic dose of whatever they gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they did that, and so I had horrible reactions that affected me for a long time thereafter. And ironically, just as I, you know, finally was coming back to myself normally, and you know, after those medications, I was given other medications to try to balance me out. It was a mess. But my mother fell and broke both of her legs and required surgery, and they over-medicated her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, you know, lacking memory and somewhat disoriented. And there was a sense that, a belief that my mother had Alzheimer's when she was on the drug to prevent it. I knew she didn't have it because I talked to her every single day. And because of what I'd gone through, and I'm pretty much a carbon copy of my mom's metabolism, physiology, etc., I knew that my mother had the same aversion to these medications that I did, and I had to campaign long and hard to get her back to her own home. But if I had not had the experience that I had had, I would also have presumed that, you know, my mom was messed up and maybe, she wouldn't have gotten to have her independent life back.
Mm-hmm.
So the old maxim of everything happens for a reason,
mm-hmm,
really applies here. We may not always love what happens to us, but it's all grist for the mill of my work, and therefore anybody that comes to see me, there's not a lot that they've been through that I haven't, and
mm-hmm,
so I can definitely identify and advocate from a place of knowing and not... sometimes people put themselves up on a pedestal and come off as a pedagogue when they're doing readings,
mm-hmm,
or sanctimonious, holisticer than thou and holier than thou. And, you know, I'm right in the trenches with people and very much their champion and their advocate. You know, I'm here to help people get over their problems, get solutions to them, and get to their highest potential.
Mm-hmm. But previous to your mother's accident, she was healthy. She had never really had to take medication for any reason.
Well, she would, you know, was some of the problems of old age, yes,
mm-hmm,
but, you know, just not the kind of, you know, major painkillers like morphine. And
right.
Actually, what I discovered, and this was only after I got her back home and was taking care of her by myself, this is so typical, but they had her every night on a very powerful sleeping pill, which she had a prescription for, but she took it for once in a blue moon when she had insomnia.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't use it regularly, and that was another medication that was truly messing up her ability, you know, to think clearly. And when she got off of that, and it took a long time to get these medications and residues out of the body, but she's back to where she was mentally before the accident, but physically a lot slower because it had a lot of physical damage for her. She
mm-hmm.
She just had a fall. She fell down some stairs and broke both legs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good that she was able to recover, obviously.
Amen.
You know. Now, when you do things like people come to you and they want to know about loved ones that have passed over, what do you see? I mean, do you see people in human bodies that shape, that form, or are they balls of energy, or what do you see when you talk to people on the other side?
No, I see them in human bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And people acting and interacting very much like they would on Earth, and we're rejoined with our family that's departed before us. I say there's a great reunion on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And people live kind of the optimal lives that they desire, but, you know, things come in so clearly detailed. For example, I was talking about the mother with the daughter earlier and reaching her mother on the other side, I said, oh, your mother was a very proper woman. She pours tea with a tea cozy, and she, you know, nodded at me knowingly. You know, our generation doesn't even know from tea cozies, but, right. You know, here it was, and you know, things come in very detailed. There's a lot of misinformation and disinformation about the other side. You know, one well-known psychic claims everybody on the other side is 30 years old. That is not true to my experience by any regard. Mm-hmm. You can age regress to the time in your life that you might have felt the most in your own power or identity or what have you. But, you know, I've seen people of all ages over there. And people eat on the other side. How wonderful is it to eat and not get fat? You don't have to have guilt.
Right. That must be nice.
Or the first person that actually showed me that I could reach those on the other side was my brother-in-law, who passed over tragically, and there he was calmly smoking a cigarette on the other side. Now, how does that fit anybody's picture?
Right.
Not mine.
Right. You wouldn't think they were smoking a cigarette or doing something that might cause them harm, you know, at least on the earth plane.
Right. They're already dead. What can happen?
Right. Exactly. I guess it doesn't matter at that point. You're right. Now, do you believe in reincarnation at all? Do
Absolutely.
These people come back?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, you say that, I guess, they go to a spot where they heal themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, how long does this healing process take? Is there a certain amount of time and then they decide to come back, or how does that work?
Well, I think it's very different per individual. And the healing amount of time on the other side that the healing takes kind of depends on the physical conditions that they were under here. Like if they had an extremely bad medical situation that they suffered with, or they had an extremely difficult life, they need to kind of be healed energetically and restored. It's almost like being cocooned till they can almost get reborn on the other side to, you know, their past glory and intactness. And sometimes when people are in that state, they cannot be contacted by a medium, and they should not be contacted. They need to be not disrupted. And if I try to reach them, you know, I will be told, you know, they're in a healing phase, you know, they can't be contacted for X amount of time, you know, then they can be. And the amount of time that people spend on the other side is also, you know, quite up to them. I've had experiences seeing people, if they learn nothing from this lifetime, because we are here in these incarnations to learn and gather experiences, but one fellow's father had not been a loving father, had abandoned the family, etc. And, you know, he pretty much earned himself an automatic return because he did not glean any of the knowledge from the lessons that he'd had. On the other hand, I have seen this in a couple of occasions, Jewish families that generations did not get to know each other because of the pogroms in Russia and the, you know, massacres of the Holocaust.
Right.
They're staying over there for generations because they did not get the opportunity to be with their progeny and their grandchildren and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, very tragic, but a dear friend of mine from college who has had what otherwise could only be termed a charmed life, wonderful husband, wonderful children, and her adorable 25-year-old daughter, who was going to graduate school in architecture, contracted cancer and died of it, despite the best medical attention that could be given. Her brother is a very prominent physician himself. But on the other side, she's like the amusement and the comic relief for those generations of grandparents, great-grandparents, etc., that are waiting for others to come over and join. And my joke about this life is, live it to the fullest. Get good stories. It can be really boring over there.
Could be beneficial in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Nancy Rose Gerler. She is a professional psychic, channel, and medium. Now, do you feel that people pass away once they have learned everything that they're supposed to on the earth plane during that lifetime? Or during this lifetime, whatever the case may be?
Oh, how can I say that? I would say no one dies before their time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they seem untimely to us, and, you know, as humans, connected and loving, you know, we can have a great deal of grief and you know, wish that they were here. I find that people can have, quote, exit options. They might have different junctures along a timeline that they can leave. Do I think that people necessarily learn everything they're supposed to learn in a lifetime? If they did, they wouldn't need to come back now, would they?
Well, I guess not. Is that what you have found, you know, to be the case, that they don't need to come back if they really have learned all their lessons?
Sometimes people opt to come back because, like I said, the other side can be boring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all that, you know, it's all the good and none of the bad, none of the interesting dynamics we have down
right
here on Earth, no peril. And people's connections to loved ones here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, if you study metaphysics, we contract for the lives that we have, and that's why we have to go through some negative experiences, even psychics.
Mm-hmm.
And but that we learn more out of the negative, unfortunately, than when everything's good. We think we're doing it all right, so we don't make adjustments. We just, you know, keep on keeping on.
Yeah, right.
It's when you get...
Right, if it's not
baseball.
Broke, don't fix it.
Yes, right. The baseball bat to the side of the head that makes you wake up and take a new kind of look at things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that everybody, what I like to say is that the soul is immortal and the ultimate recyclable.
Mm-hmm.
That no one really dies. And
right,
there's certainly a huge body of literature that supports that. But I was not raised in a religious household, so I was not really raised to believe in anything. And I say that I don't believe anything I know. I come from the path of direct experience, and that's what I advocate, and that's why we're here, to experience directly. And in that way, you know directly, and nobody can tell you differently, because it's your intrinsic knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned a contract. What kind of contract are you talking about?
Well, before we come down to Earth, we make the arrangements, so to speak, choose the parents, the life experiences that will most lead to our growth, whatever direction or goal we have for a particular lifetime. And then, of course, the veil comes down, the blinders come on,
mm-hmm.
and we have that great forgetting.
Right.
So that it's pretty much, you know, we're down here, we come in these naked, helpless little things, and go through our experiences and react to them as we are encountering them. And the, you know, value of going to a psychic is that you might get some warnings about what's up around the curves in the road ahead, and get some insight on how to deal with these situations when they present themselves, so that you can make wiser choices.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that are engraved in stone. There's some things that I think are your choice situations, and certainly the spiritual path is one that, you know, if you can raise your vibration and get to a higher level, you may be able to avert some of those negative ways of gaining experience and knowledge
mm-hmm.
on the earth plane. But, you know, I always tell people, you know, we come down here for the challenges. You know, we're the heroes. The angels look upon us as the hardworking ones. You know, we're the ones in the flesh, and they're the ones in spirit. They don't have these same challenges. And it's what you can accomplish. You know, we can all be heroes in our own lifetimes in myriad smaller ways that don't necessarily make the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
But we're the ground crew. We're the one doing the work. The smooth cruise is not available here. It's on the other side of the equation.
Right. Well, that's why we're here, right?
Exactly.
Because we have to learn those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were going to give a reading to somebody, how do you get ready for it?
The number one thing that I do before a reading, it's really important for me to calm my vibration. Even if it's a short one, I will do a meditation, silent meditation, and say mantras given to me by a guru that open my channels to the higher dimensions. I say prayers and blessings where, you know, I request only the highest information and the highest work with me. Our guides, angels, and masters, the invisible helpers that work with us in spirit. And I use my crystals to focus and clear. And then I will ask the subject their full name and date of birth. I don't do astrology, but that is how I tune in to people's vibration. It's like their, you know, address on the planet, so to speak. And then I run that through my mind several times, and I feel like, I call it clicking in. You know, first I get into the zone, and then I click into the individual's vibration. And sometimes information will just come, you know, right out, or I will get some impressions that I will ask them to validate, or I will let them start out with, you know, whatever questions or issues they'd like to deal with first.
Mm-hmm. Now, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do so?
Well, my website is under construction, so it's not up yet, and the best way to reach me is via phone, and I have a 1-800 number to make it convenient, 1-800-996-8799, and my voicemail is 24-hour, and I get back with people, you know, promptly when I receive their messages. My office is located in Nichols Arcade, which is a wonderful historic building right by U of M's campus, but I also do phone readings. I have clients all over the country and in other countries too. And I just love to do what I do. I love to serve people. I love to help in a way that's so much more immediate, direct, and giving people answers that they would never get in, say, a therapeutic situation.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you are really providing a source of help to people, and does that make you feel like your work is very rewarding?
That's why I do it. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely the gratification of being able to help other people with, you know, the thorny issues of life, or even what I call finger on the pulse readings. Even when things are good, people might want to come in and see what's going on, and they're, you know, with, not just with them, but with their family members, friends, etc. And it kind of gives them a roadmap for the future. I have clients that will come to see me on an annual basis on their birthday. It's really good for people once they come to see me to, you know, keep up on a you know, semi-regular basis, because once I'm in somebody's vibration, you know, it's very easy for me to do follow-ups with them. And it's my long-term clients that, you know, I've really been able to guide them successfully in their lives, and that's why they keep coming back.
Mm-hmm. That's important. I do want to thank you for being here today. Very informative. I really appreciate the fact you could do the show.
Well, thank you so much. It's totally been my pleasure to be able to share what I do and help other people too.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I just want to thank Nancy for being my guest this month. She was a very interesting guest. I do appreciate the fact she could do the show. I also want to thank Brandon McKay for producing this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. He does provide a lot of help. I really appreciate it. And the next show will be Tuesday, November 17th at 1 p.m., so be sure to come back and join us at that time. And in leaving the show today, I'm going to repeat something or read something that I haven't done it in a while. I used to do it on many of my shows in the past. But I'm going to close this show with an Irish blessing, and this is how it goes. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand.